Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome. Welcome to episode 2 of Looking for My Give a Fuck, hosted by yours truly, Shirley E. Shepherd. Good morning or afternoon or midnight, wherever the hell you are listening. Welcome. And thank you for being a part of this 30 minutes of me looking for my give a fuck, which is ultimately looking into the endless cycle of ego thinking. Can you imagine I'm like actually staying on air or just put it out there in the universe that sometimes there is a problem when we think just through the lens of our ego. But anyway, you guys know that. Now, how are you? This is episode 2. And as you guys, people have been following me, I've had lots of radio shows. I just finished one radio show that's on at the same time. If you're familiar with that, please go ahead, listen. They have a great show, a great format, although it's different than what I'm doing now. But what's good about Blog Talk Radio is that you can always go back into the archives and support us that way. So just completely knock that out. That'd be great. I also want to tell you that I'm doing the show today from my home, and I don't have my good microphones, and people are upstairs, downstairs, doing a lot of things, so you're going to hear a lot of stuff in the background. And I do apologize for that, but my new mics are coming in, I hope by next week. Wow. I like to let you guys know that I have decided to break the show up into segments, because I'll get to talking and I'll never get to the meat and potato of where this book came from and the tools that I'm using to become a better person, or at least do less thinking outside the box or inside the box when it comes to my ego. So for the first 10 minutes, I'm just going to do some reflection. And reflection will be, again, this is the second show. So for those of you who are not familiar with the first show, I just like to tell you that the first show, how this came about, you have to hear. You have to go to the archives. It's hilarious. But you can best believe it's about being around family who have differences. And when you are when you have nothing else better to do, you kind of slide under the table, or you think to yourself, when your ego's thinking for sure, you know, do I give a fuck about this, right? And I just want everyone that's listening now, this is not a negative show at all. It's actually extremely funny and helpful. and I think Kevin Hart, I think on his show, he would always say something looking for my give a fuck, right? And it would just be funny. And that's what this is kind of about, but it's also about looking for yourself, looking inside yourself and figuring out why you have to look for your give a fuck, because maybe you were looking you're looking for your give a fuck through lenses that weren't even of your choosing. How's that? That's what I really like about the book that I have based this show on and my learnings on. And it's outside of this book. It's out, but just what really hit me, and I've read a lot of books, and I read a lot of books, and I do a lot of talking, I do a lot of digging, I do a lot of whole bunch of stuff to find out, you know, God just gave me so much. I mean, I'm bright, I'm pretty well. Menopause. I don't know. Menopause is a damn thing. But anyway, you have all these things. And then when you step back and say, well, I'm so good at everything under the sun, or bad at everything under the sun, what things did I really like doing? Is it funny how you hit midlife crisis and all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, I don't think I'm happy. How did I get here? Well, that's what this book that I am basing the initial part of the show on is called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. You guys, please read it. Listen to it in your car. It is not one of these, you got it, you do it, you find it, you be it. Heck no. It really, really talks about, and I'll read a little bit that I have put on the Blog Talk Radio, the Blog Talk Radio explanational thing here about what this hell the show's about. But it, what does it talk about? Kevin Hart. Okay. The book really goes into, you know, the conflict that we have within ourselves, the suffering that we go through in the world and ourselves, but they're usually based on this attachment to the ego that creates dysfunction, that leads to anger, jealousy, and unhappiness. Okay? Now, that's great. It's the next sentence after the unhappiness comma that made me go further in that and shows readers how to awaken. A lot of times there are things that say things, but they don't show us. They don't give us tools you know, saying be a good person or saying don't do this or don't do that, that's all great. But providing tools to justify what you are sharing with people is key. For instance, I'll go on here because it's so important. It says, to show the readers how to awaken to a new state of consciousness and follow the path to a truly fulfilling existence. Okay, that got me excited. Like, what are you going to show me? He ain't got nothing on me. I'm silly. I'm not supposed to be silly. He ain't got nothing on me. I know. I've read everything. But when I started listening to the book, by the way, that was referred to me by my brother, Mr. James J. Brown, who is probably, you know, in fact, my whole family, they're geniuses. I'm like the dummy out of the family. But anyway, we'll go there another day. But you have to be in a place and space that you're ready to hear. You're ready to listen. You're ready to listen and not understand and listen again until you understand that you don't understand, then you open up to understanding. I'll say that again. You listen, listen, listen because you don't understand. And then at one point, because you don't understand, you'll begin to understand because you will open up your mind to understanding. You're like, that's a whole lot. Yeah, it is a whole lot. But it is the truth. It truly, truly is. It is. Anyway, so what this book basically said, okay, smartasses, I finally got through chapters 1, 2, and 3, and now you're figuring out, you're ready to get the tools. The tools are within you, but the tools and the mannerism and the way that you act and why you act that way is all based on you. I was like, I'm going to close the book. I'm like, dude, I know that. But he said, no, open the book back up. Turn the radio, turn it back on if you're listening to it in the car like I do 90% of the time. Said, no, listen, stop. You weren't just created by yourself. You had influences. You had experiences. And no, we're not going in there saying, because my mama did this, my mama did that, I'm this, I'm that. No, but it did put a filter on your process of thinking and your defensiveness or your attachments to or your preconceived something as to how others should act based on what you see, what you feel. So basically what it really does, it takes all the blinders off and it excuses you for a moment, because sometimes we don't know why our ego leads or why we place expectations of others or why we do. Sometimes we just don't know. And this book lets us start taking those layers off, right? And allows us to say, oh, wait. And as you know, that's a good metaphor I can use today that I was just thinking about. I know this probably doesn't make sense, but to me, it's metaphorical. You remember when biscuits, how they come in those containers and you kind of hit them on the side of the counter and they pop open. They got the first layer hitting it. They pop open, which is amazing. Like they were like, oh, I couldn't wait to get out of this container. Then you kind of have to twist the container a little bit, if you guys know what I'm talking about. And then you pull out one biscuit. And then there's layers of biscuits. And then all of a sudden you put it on the pan and they're getting ready to get grubbed on after they go in the oven, right? But I've always, for some reason, when I don't know how to cook, but I can open up a can of biscuits. And there's something about taking one out at a time and placing it in the pan. It's like layers. And you make sure, and if you got the ones that are really fluffy, you know, sometimes they have 3 or 4 layers within that one biscuit. I know you guys think I'm crazy, but give me the metaphor. You always make sure you got all the proper layers for that one biscuit. And you did that because, first of all, biscuits were expensive back in the day. And second of all, that's just the way they wanted you to do it, and you did it. Well, what this book for me has done, I was ready to be cracked in the head, per se, and I was bursting. If you think about the biscuit thing, it just burst open, right? Sometimes it scares shit out of me. Like, my mom will hit it, boom, boom. I'm like, oh, my God, is this breakfast or war? And then it will pop open, which is so cool. And then when it pops open, it starts to swell, and you have to open it. But you took one thing at a time. This is what this book is about. It's like, look, don't get upset. I know we're getting ready to eat breakfast, but there's a process before breakfast. And breakfast being the metaphorical aspect of, instead of eating, learning. Right? So this book kind of does that. And I don't even know about you guys. Once you get it all, get them all like 5, 6, 8, I don't know, it depends, on the pan, then there's this other thing that goes in. Some people put butter. Some people do this. Or they put it in the oven and they watch it grow. And then finally, boom, it's ready to go and it's such a good thing. Again, I'm not using life being a big biscuit that we're ready to eat. But if you really, really use the metaphorical thought process, we're bursting and we're looking. And we're trying to unload the different layers of our lives. And once we do that, once you look at the biscuit, you know, it's so small, and then you take it out and put it on the tray, there's like 10 biscuits. You're like, oh, my God, those are 10 different things that went into this can. Think about it. Your emotions, your egos, your this, your that, all these things we have come from different places. Some could straightly come from the home, from the neighborhood, from your friends, from your relationships, all that. Others go into your family, grandparents, you know, your history, your religion, your culture, you know, if you belong to a cult, okay? These are not bad things. They are what they are. But when they begin to bother you, and you begin to act, and you begin to act from a point of this, I call it ego, because at some point, it becomes ego, becomes who you are by default. As you begin to look at that, and you're like, you know, I don't like that. Where did that come from? I'm not comfortable with that. You know, it doesn't mean you go and you open up this damn biscuit and you change your whole life and then you stuff back in. You know, once the biscuit's open, it can't go back in the same way. No, it becomes, this book is really about accepting where your thought process is default to, accepting it, okay? There's a lot of books that talk about accepting it, but they never give you the tools to work within that exception. That's the hard part. You know, side note, people are always talking about, you can do this, you can do that, go, 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 mo, right? But no one says, you know, in life, if you're going to do these things, there are steps, there are tools. It is very difficult. But when you learn a sport or when you learn a trade, or you learn an instrument and you are, you have passion for it, you learn. You learn whether it's through hearing, you learn whether it's through hands-on or a catalog. You know, you get an opportunity to figure out how to play an instrument or do a job. But when you have grown up, you may not have had the option to decide what was going to be important to you and what wasn't. A lot of times that comes from other exterior influences, influences, and so by the time you come of age and you're like, where'd this come from? You're already gone from that. It could be something grandma used to say, or something mom used to say, or your cousins used to say, your brother. It doesn't matter. This book says it's all here, and let's explore. Let's open up this biscuit can and let's explore. Let's put it out on the table. And then what's nice about it? There's no judgment there. You choose what you want to do. You decide, hey, you know, I don't think I like getting upset all the time. Where does this come from? And then the other thing is you don't have to do a deep, dark Oprah, you know, meditation thing to figure out where it comes from. You just got to nip it in the butt when it's happening or observe it when it's happening. That is so exciting here. This book and maybe other books that I have yet to come across, it gives you the opportunity that within that moment of something that is outside of yourself, like, why did I get mad? Or why did I let that person get mad at me? You have that momentary, less than a flash of a second to acknowledge it. Sometimes it's not going to stop you. I got to tell you guys this week, this book did not help me when I went ugly. Did not help me at all. But I tried. But it did not help me. I went to a place so fast, and it was because it was buildup. Now, what this book would have shared with me is prior to letting something take me to a point where I went almost black, that's not healthy. The other signs prior to that should have been what I had to look at to make changes prior to anything making me upset as I was. And ultimately, it was a person calling me out of my name. Now, usually you can call me out of my name when you're brother. I don't care about that. But when you call me out of my name in my face and all I was doing was my job, that tends to hurt my character and everything about me. And it was really a bad situation. So I'm not saying this book is the it's all things. But what it did point out to me is don't ever let something get you to that point to where you're like, ha! And it was pretty much, So anyway, the reason I love this book is because it gives you the tools. The tools are yours to have. The tools are for you to use. And we are not perfect. And if we are perfect, then I'm imperfectly perfect. Put it that way. I had one more thing. I had like segments. This was just my intro, but it's going a little over, and that's okay. We'll get to the book quotes in a minute. Sorry if you hear that dog in the background. He's my new puppy, and he doesn't understand that the world does not revolve around him, so he's on my lap, and I apologize. We'll work through that. What was I going to say? Again, the reason this book is so amazing is it gives you the tools. And there's no blame. It is a book if you're ready just to take responsibility for your own learning, to take the responsibility for your own, you know, opening up your biscuit, the can of biscuits, you're ready to rock and roll. So I'm really excited about that. This, like I said, this will continue to be the basis of this show. Usually within the first 10 minutes, but obviously I'm going on 14 minutes, which I forgot. It was just reflection on the journey. This week, like I said, I allowed myself to stay in a situation for a very long time where someone decided that it was okay or they were at their wit's end and they called me out of my name, some names that were just really, really bad. And unfortunately, I reacted to that. No, I didn't react to physical violence, but I really, really got mad. And the thing there is that no one should be justified to call you out of your name, but more importantly is what could I have done? And I could have removed myself from the situation a long time ago, but I did not. Why? Because I allowed my ego thinking, my ego, for whatever reason, keep me in a very unhealthy working environment. And I need everyone to know that as of today's date, I am no longer in that environment. But it took almost me having to lay hands on someone for disrespecting me. And I'm not a violent person, but I guess when you're in menopause, you can be anything you want. That's funny to me. Okay. The next section of the show is going to be about some of my favorite quotes that come from this book and come from other areas that really help with giving us tools to survive. Right? Like I said, I didn't do very well. Let me go back. I didn't do very well getting out of the situation. I didn't even do very well at the time it exploded. What I did well is come back to this book and take responsibility and never to put myself in that environment again. And then I can go into why I stayed in that environment. It didn't take me long to realize it was ego-based. That woman was not going to beat me, and ultimately she did. Anytime someone can call you out of your name and you've been fighting for position, you've already lost. Think about that. Okay, so moving on. We go into quotes. I love quotes. I was looking at some things on Facebook. Again, after, you know, being a part of this book, I look at quotes that I used to look at 10 years ago, and I thought, oh my God, that's so profound. That's really going to help me make movement in my life. And a quote, for example, is this one that I call beautiful quote. The woman was beautiful. The whole scenery was very attractive, you know, looking at the wording, like, oh, this person understood my pain, understood. But here's what the quote said. Explore that unknown parts of your soul, confident, and have courage. Well, first of all, reading it now sounds really crazy, but I don't have all the prettiness that was surrounded by it. But it says explore that unknown parts of your soul. What does that mean? You know, with confidence. If I'm exploring something, look for something within my soul, where the fuck is the confidence going to come from within that ride? And then have courage. I'm exploring something of unknown parts of my soul that I don't know I don't even know I don't know its parts or unknown parts. I don't even know it had parts. Yet I'm supposed to be confident and encourage that my soul has the answer. This is the problem. We read these things and we think, okay, well, my soul will tell me. I'll just be confident and have courage. And then you look around and wonder there's no movement in your life because that quote made no sense, in my opinion. It basically told you to look for something that's unknown as a part of your soul that your soul you're not even acquainted with if you're looking at something like this, looking for it. And then it says be confident upon finding the unknown part of you and have courage. I don't know the courage to be confident or courage to find it, whatever. It's a mess. It's absolutely a mess. If you begin to read quotes and you read it and you don't have to be a genius, but you're saying, that's not helping me, then it's not helping you. It's just a beautiful quote.
And I have tons. You can go on my Facebook page. I'm pretty sure I'm public 90% of my stuff because I never understood being private on Facebook. I'm sure there's a purpose. I think 9-10 years of beautiful quotes that I thought were leading me in the right direction. Mind you, they were at some level, at some course. I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't started on my journey by looking for quotes or things to make me understand what was happening to me or why I was feeling the way I was feeling. I want to do another side note. I do a lot of them. It's kind of like my show. Anytime you go out of general course, I could call it, I take a lot of chances in my life. I've had several jobs that, you know, I claim that I have quit or quit before I got fired or whatever the case may be. I have taken chances, but I've always been a chance taker. Because I didn't think it out. But these were, you know, my attitude was, well, I can do it. Why can't I do it? And sometimes when you step out of the box, you're going to get hit. And I'm not telling people not to step out of the box. I'm telling you, do you. I was the first cheerleader, first black, for this. Well, all those firstesses, well, also calls you to be the firstesses to experience pain, to experience rejection, to experience a type of hurt that most people are not going to be familiar with because they're not only on your journey, but you've taken some really crazy rides. And most people would never have stepped into or stayed in positions that I have been in, and I did it for two reasons, to learn and to become stronger. This last situation, the ego led, and I lost both. But when you are walking, trotting the road, what is that, the road least something, something, something? I don't know what I'm saying, but if you're going down the path and you see a lot of people aren't going down that path, you are going to encounter a lot of things that the masses, friends, family will not know how to support you. And in fact, they will love you so much by saying, you know, get out of there. You're getting hurt. You're getting this. You're getting that. If you're going to stay within those within that course of difference, that course of, you know, the roads less traveled, this book is for you. Because when you begin to respond to the outer person's actions, and it's all based on your ego, all those great adventures that you want to go on will pain you. Because there's a lot of pain. You know, if you get a job, you go 9 to 5, you know what's going on, you stay for 20 years, there's not a lot of room for anything more than learning the job and understanding the game. But if you jump out and you do things and you start thinking on your own, you're going to get a lot of resistance. And within that resistance, you're going to look at yourself like, am I crazy? There just hasn't been enough mentors at this juncture to say to you, it's okay, but I have to show you how to see things differently or work things differently so you can survive when you're walking the road of less traveled. And that was me. If I could tell myself now, which I can tell others, sometimes it's best to remove yourself. But it's hard to remove yourself when you believe your ego is at its best for you. Because how could it not have been? Without your ego, you wouldn't be number one. You wouldn't have the balls to take these chances. Your ego is the most important part of you in a sense. It can be, but it can also be a hindrance. It can also cause you to stay in situations and make some really bad mistakes. I'm only talking from personal experience. If that radiates with you, whew, come on now. This book is for you. Anyway, we just talked about an unhelpful quote. Again, explore that unknown, I guess most probably explore those unknown, but it says that, unknown parts of your soul, confidence, and have courage. I said to you that to me was beautiful, but it meant nothing as to how you become a better you. However, and Eckhart Tolle's quotes are some favorite quotes. You can see them online anywhere you want. Here are a few that I picked that I thought were really, really good. And you guys have all heard about this quote, but a lot of people don't really understand what it means because I didn't understand it. And it says, whatever you fight, you strengthen. And what you resist, persists. Someone told me whatever I resisted, it persists. They told me that years ago. I never understood the word persist and resist. Never understood. I couldn't even understand the concept of it. They even use for me, because I'm from Iowa, so, you know, the cornfields, you know, when the wind is blowing to the left or the right, you never go against the corn, you know, because it's just, you know, think about it, or the wheat, you never go against it because, you know, because that's just stupid. You just always go with it. But then this sounds even better. Whatever you fight, you strengthen. Whatever you fight, you strengthen. Whatever you fight, you strengthen. And then when you get really knowledgeable of how to use that, what you resist persists. So whatever is resisting in the situation I was in was being unappreciated, used. I was resisting that. And I ultimately strengthened what I was resisting, and there was an explosion. Don't do that. Whatever you fight, you strengthen. I know a lot of times, let's say being in love, you want to fight the fact that it might be over. And then you make it worse because you're fighting for that person so much. Let me take something really quick that I learned even on that type of relationship, because I have many relationships. I'm like, I didn't say it was over. I didn't say it was over. It's funny to me. But let me also add this. This is my own epiphany. Oh, good. Here's the epiphany of the day. There you go. That's what I was looking for anyway. Everyone's writing their own book, their own story. In fact, I bought my mom yesterday a pen that had a paintbrush on it. It was so cute. It says, paint your story. Everyone has their own stories, their own chapters. Sometimes we are graced to be in the chapter of someone's life. That means friendships, family, loveships, relationships, you know, professional, personal. But that person, just like I have the right to, you know, change or edit or just amend the book or whatever I'm going to do of my life, so do other people. And so just because I wanted to say into a chapter of someone's life and they wrote me out of the chapter, I had to learn to respect their writings. I had to learn to respect their chapter, that chapter. I was hoping that when the book ends, that at least I could edit it back in somewhere. But the bottom line, especially with relationships, because they're always looking for answers to what did I do wrong? Why did I do this? And I know, I've been there. Sometimes it's just their chapter. I think if we let everyone write their own chapters and accept it as a chapter and be honored that you were even, if you love someone, just to be honored that you were in their chapter, let them close their chapter. And continue to focus on your book. And in your book, your chapter would be like, dang, didn't want it to work out like that, but it did, oh Lord Jesus. And keep on. Because I think a problem that we're having these days, we're trying to write other people's books and other people's chapters, and that's not fair. And in doing so, what we're trying to hold on to them, we're letting them go. You know what I mean? And so what you fight, you strengthen. So when someone wants to continue on with their journey and they have a new chapter, as hard as it is, let them go and give them space. You'll be surprised that everybody's book, you know, they have an index. There's a reason for an index. They can kind of shortcut it and say, ooh, where was Shirley's book? You're always being someone's book. You don't have to fight to stay. So that was something I wanted to share with everyone. Okay, one more because I have like 2 minutes. So another quote was, the past has no power over the present moment. Again, that present moment is an important factor. Again, I completely missed the mark on Wednesday, and all that. But if we can reflect on that present moment, which is a very difficult task, 90 seconds, if we can reflect on that, there is something better that comes out of life than some of the stuff that we've experienced that was like not very good. Okay. Sometimes, this is the last one for the day, sometimes letting things go is an act of far greater power than defending on hanging on. Again, that goes hand in hand with my chapter when it came to the book. Sometimes you just got to let it go, and it's so painful. Letting go, I hate that. Letting go, you let go. He's like, you let go. I love him. So letting go is a very, very difficult thing, and even difficult thing to say, to do. I don't want to say that. Just consider other people's chapters in their book. Okay, you guys, I think I have less than 56 seconds, probably even less than that because this goes so fast. Anyway, I wanted to say, you know, today's looking for my give a fuck was letting you know that I did a bad job this week, but I'm fixing it. I'm working on it. The epiphany of something learning today is let people write their own books. Sometimes you get erased off the chapter, but at least you're in the index. Keep that in mind. Okay, you guys. It has been a great show today. I had an ending. I think I had an ending. I can't find my ending anymore. It was a really good ending, but I'll just wait 10 seconds. Let me find my ending. I really wrote on it. I can't find it. But anyway, the ending is I'm signing off until next week. Continue to make good memories. Take care.